This is a message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. For other sermons from Antioch, you can visit the church website at antiochchurchnc.org. Now, let's turn our hearts to the Word of God.
Mark chapter 10, verse 36. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And thank you, Brent, for leading us. Talking about Jesus endured the shame, endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. You know, in John, I believe it's in 18, Pilate asked him if he's a king. He said, "I am a king, but my kingdom," listen, saints, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Why do we still live as if it is? Well, as we've said, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He knows his time is short. He knows the Passover is near. And he's discipling his disciples. We've been talking about that. Jesus is discipling his disciples. He's preparing them for what is to come, for the suffering that they will endure as they watch him suffer. Preparing them also to be the foundation for the church. The apostles are the foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone, and we are part of the building that has been going on for 2,000 years. So they're leaving Jericho. Interesting, Jericho is 840 feet below sea level. It's the lowest city on earth. And in fact, I learned this week, it's the oldest, longest inhabited city on earth. Still people living in Jericho. So they're walking out of Jericho. Just as they walk out of Jericho, they encounter a blind beggar on the side of the road. Bartimaeus, right? Which means the son of Timaeus. Mark, Mike, aren't you glad I didn't call you Bar Mark? All right. Praise the Lord. That's right. So this is, listen, saints, this is the final event of Jesus' life before he enters Jerusalem, which sets into motion basically the final week of his life. Okay? Next week, when we look at the triumphal entry, we're looking at the Sunday before the Friday when he was crucified. So 10 chapters of Mark bring us to the brink, right? And then the last 6 chapters of Mark cover the last week of Jesus' life. And it's the same in every one of the Gospels. Bartimaeus, it's interesting, Bartimaeus is the only person in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the only person in the Synoptic Gospels who is healed by Jesus and we know his name. Jesus healed lots of people, didn't he? I mean, remember in the first chapter, the whole city, after he healed Peter's mother-in-law, we don't know her name, the whole city was gathered outside the door, right? But Bartimaeus has a distinct characteristic in that, or significance in that he's the only one named. What's significant about this miracle and this man, as we know Jesus healed many others? Well, some have written that the healing of Bartimaeus is the sum and center, or the sum and substance of all that the disciples need to know, what Mark is conveying to us about faith and discipleship. You know, Jesus loves show and tell, right? He loves to talk about something and then demonstrate it. Or he loves to demonstrate something and then talk about it. Well, Jesus has been talking about what it means to be a disciple. What does it mean to follow him? And Bartimaeus provides the illustration. This blind man on the side of the road, you could say he sees more clearly with no eyes than all those around Jesus with two good eyes. What he lacks in eyesight, Bartimaeus makes up in insight. He understands things that they simply do not. Let's look at this story then under three main points. Bartimaeus called, Jesus stopped, Bartimaeus followed. Pretty simple story. First, Bartimaeus called. We see that in the first few verses. You know, there were probably many who had been traveling this road, the road that left Jericho and went up to Jerusalem. 20 torturous miles to Jerusalem. You're traveling 2,500 plus 840. What's that? 3,340 feet in elevation. You're climbing for 20 miles. So probably many who've been traveling this road over the last few weeks, they're leaving and they're going up to Jerusalem for what? The Passover. It's next week. You know? It's happening next Friday. Got to get there. And as they're walking along, I just imagine that they were talking about the news in Palestine. What was the biggest news in Palestine for the last 3 years? Jesus. One says to another, have you heard about this guy, Jesus, the Nazarene? Yeah, he's from Nazareth. But I mean, he's been healing people. He's been delivering people from demons. I mean, he's been teaching in ways that nobody's ever heard teaching before. And the other one says, yeah, I heard that he even raised this girl from the dead. And the other one says, what? What are you talking about? I hadn't heard that one. He said, yeah, Jairus, some ruler of a synagogue down in Galilee, whatever. Who cares about Galilee, right? But, I mean, Jairus' daughter, she's laying there. She's dead. Jesus walks over and he takes her hand and he says to her, little girl, get up. And she gets up. Wow. This is amazing. And Bartimaeus is sitting right outside the city where he always sits because he's blind and he has to beg. He can't work. He has to depend on the kindness of others to live. And he's been hearing this over and over and over, not just this week, but for 3 years perhaps he's been hearing stories about this man. And then he hears the greatest news of his life. Jesus, the Nazarene, is in Jericho, and he's headed your way. Somebody ran to tell him, Bartimaeus, he's coming, Jesus, you've heard of him? Yes, I've heard of him, he's coming, he's in the crowd, you'll hear him in a minute, or you'll know in a minute. Jesus is near. That's the word that Bartimaeus heard. You know, Bible says faith comes by hearing. And the word that Bartimaeus heard was, Jesus is near. Guess what, saints? He still is. And so Bartimaeus begins to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He doesn't know where Jesus is. He can't see him. But he knows he's in the crowd that's walking past him. So he just makes sure he yells loud enough to where the crowd is, you know, talking among themselves, that Jesus will hear him. He cries out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. We don't know how many times he yelled it. But I'm thinking, he's thinking, this may be my only opportunity. He may never pass this way again. I get one chance. I'm not going to let this pass. He's going to hear me. Whether he responds or not, that's up to him. But he's going to hear me. You see, desperation drives people to faith sometimes, doesn't it? Bold faith in the one who believes in the Messiah. When he calls Jesus the Son of David, by the way, it's an important distinction. He's remembering back to 2 Samuel 7. This man knew the scriptures apparently well enough to know that God said to David that he would have a son who would sit on the throne forever. That's what it says in 2 Samuel. He says, I will establish the throne of his kingdom, David's kingdom, forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Talking about the person who would come after David. Well, who came after David? Who came right after David, young people? Who was the next king? Solomon, right? Was Solomon the one? Is he still sitting on the throne in Israel? Everybody said, no, he's not. So we know that Solomon failed to follow the law, and he's not the offspring who would fulfill this promise of God that he made. Who would fulfill this promise, this Davidic covenant, that a king would come after David, from the seed of David, and would be the eternal king? Well, we're told in Hebrews chapter 1. We just looked at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 1, the writer of Hebrews takes that promise and applies it to Jesus. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? The answer is none. Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So the writer of Hebrews takes this verse in Samuel and applies it to Jesus. Well, Bartimaeus apparently understood enough to know that this man, he'd heard enough to believe that this man was the promised Messiah. I told you he had eyes to see that the disciples still didn't have. Have mercy on me, he cries. He cries, have mercy to the only one who could have mercy on him. The blind beggar understood the heart of God better than those who could see. He asked for that which the Father and the Son love to give. Love most to give. They love to give mercy. What did the crowds do when Bartimaeus started yelling to Jesus? What did the crowds do? They rebuked him. They shushed him. They told him, be quiet. Stop yelling. Why would they do that? Did you think about that this week? Why would the crowds tell this poor blind beggar, right? He's not faking it. He really is blind. He really is disabled. He really is unable to provide for himself. Why would they yell to him to be quiet when he's trying to get some help? Sinclair Ferguson writes, he said they were there for the crowd. They were there for the spectacle of seeing Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus only had nuisance value. You're just a nuisance, man. Be quiet. Maybe he's right. But I also wonder, here's what I think. I wonder if the people who were telling Bartimaeus to be quiet were the same people who were always telling Bartimaeus to be quiet. I wonder how many of these people were Jericho people, and they were walking out of Jericho with Jesus, following the crowd, and they saw, oh, there's Bartimaeus again. He's doing what he always does. He's yelling at people, trying to get help, and they're just telling him to be quiet, you know, because they had told him before, be quiet. Not going to help you. Don't have anything for you. Leave me alone. Be quiet. You bother me. Because listen, if they had ever helped him, if they'd ever shown mercy to this man, if they'd ever had compassion on him, wouldn't they have wanted him to yell to Jesus? Wouldn't they have wanted? Doesn't it logically flow that they would want Bartimaeus to look to the Savior? But see, here's the thing. They wouldn't think that way. Why? Because they lacked faith. Bartimaeus did not lack faith. Their hearts were blind. His was not. So they told him to be quiet. And what did he do? He cried out louder. Right? He cried out even more. Opposition to his trying to get to Jesus only made him want to get to Jesus more. Saints, that's the way it should be for us. Nobody's keeping you from getting to Jesus. Nobody's keeping the people in communist China from getting to Jesus. We just have to try harder. We have to yell louder. We have to persevere. His volume increased over their rebukes, and that's when it happened. I like the way Jonathan read it. He was real dramatic when he read this part. Jonathan McClure. Jesus stopped. Yes, he did. That's the next point. Jesus stopped. The Lord of all creation. Think about this. He's on his way to do what? He's on his way to die. He's on his way to give his life as a ransom for many, as he said last week. And he stops at the sound of a blind beggar asking for mercy. You know what? He does that for all of us blind beggars. Somebody said evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. The crowds may have tried to silence him, but Jesus heard the cries and he stopped, perhaps because he knew this blind beggar came to Jesus with nothing but his need. Isn't that what Jesus has been teaching his disciples for the last week? It was illustrated, it was taught first when they rebuked the parents for bringing the children to him to be blessed by Jesus. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. In fact, you can't come to me unless you come as a little child. In other words, the children came to him with nothing. And they walked away with Jesus' blessing. The rich man, right after that, the rich man comes to Jesus and he has everything. He has everything. And he walks away with nothing. Because the richer you are, the more powerful you are, the greater you are on the earth, it will not satisfy you in eternity. It certainly cannot, and it even won't satisfy you here. That's why the young man walked away sadly. And then Jesus turns to the crowd and says, call him. Call him. I wonder if some of the same people who had been yelling at Bartimaeus to be quiet from the crowd, hey, be quiet, you're bothering us, are the same people Jesus turned to and said, call him. Because I would imagine they went over and said, take heart, get up, he's calling you, Bartimaeus. The Savior, the Lord wants to see you. I don't know, but I do know this. Mark tells us how Bartimaeus responded to Jesus. How did he respond? He threw off his cloak. He did not just, it's kind of hard to get up. I've been sitting here for a while. My legs are kind of stiff. No, he threw off his cloak. He sprang up and he went to see Jesus. I'm surprised Mark didn't say he ran. But he did go to Jesus. Strong action, purposeful, intentional. And I wrote, oh Lord, help us to do that every day. As the preacher said years ago, some people just need to get blanket victory. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Help us to be strong and purposeful and intentional about coming to be with you. Coming to see you. And Jesus asked him this question. Anybody think that was strange when you read that this week in your studies? As I know you were all studying this week and preparing and taking notes. Seriously, what do you want me to do for you? Blind man walks up to you and you say, what would you like for me to do? It's really not a strange question. You know what Jesus is doing here? I think he's going right to the heart. He's going right to the heart. Bartimaeus, do you understand what you need? Do you understand what you need more than anything else? I want to see what's in your heart. Bartimaeus, are you just asking me for money so you can have a little bit to eat just one more day? Because I won't be back tomorrow. I'm going to Jerusalem. Is that all you want from me? Just a copper coin so you can buy some bread and maybe some fruit? How much or how little did Bartimaeus believe Jesus, the Son of David, could do for him? That's what he's after. How much do you think I can help you, Bartimaeus? And there's no hesitation, is there? What does he say? Rabboni, let me recover my sight. You know, in this text it says rabbi, but the real word in the Greek there is rabboni. And it's an interesting word. It literally means my great master. And it was very, very rarely spoken to a human. You wouldn't say rabboni to a human being unless you were really, I mean, you were revering this person, this man of God. But it was most often spoken in prayer. The only two times it's spoken to a person in scriptures is spoken to Jesus. Bartimaeus says it here on this side of the cross to Jesus. Rabboni, great master. Who says it to Jesus in the garden on the other side of the cross when she figured out that he's not the gardener? Mary. Jesus said, Mary. And she recognized his voice, and she recognized who it was. And she says, Rabboni, my great Lord, my great master. I love that. And then he says, Rabboni, let me recover my sight. Edwards writes, he asked for ordinary health, not extraordinary glory. Who asked for extraordinary glory last time? Right? The Thunder Boys, they wanted to sit on either side of him. They were asking something extraordinary. Bartimaeus says, I just want to see, Lord. I just want to see. Implicit in that request is the faith that Jesus, the Son of David, can do it. So Jesus says to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Do you remember that phrase before in Mark? Your faith has made you well. It's used here and there in both cases to mean healed and saved. It's the same word. The same word. Your faith has made you healthy. Your faith has made you spiritually whole. Your faith has healed you of blindness. Your faith has saved you. And of course, we know Jesus saves, but it's our faith that he uses the vehicle. We are saved by grace through faith. He said that same thing to the woman who had the issue of blood, who said, if I can only touch his garment, if I could just reach out and touch his garment. And Jesus finds out who it is, and he says, your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you, body and soul. Immediately after that, Jesus said that Bartimaeus could see. Think about it. He went from totally blind to seeing clearly. He went from lost to saved. He went from, this is the coolest part of the story, he went from a blind beggar to a disciple. How do we know that? Because we're told that Bartimaeus followed. Immediately he could see, and immediately he followed Jesus. Jesus told him, go your way. Bartimaeus showed the disciples and us that to go our way is always to go with him. Bartimaeus, in effect, said, my way? Lord, what are you talking about? I'm going with you. I don't have a way. My way has been sitting here begging, and now you've given me purpose. You've given me meaning in life. I want to follow you. I'm going with you. This once blind beggar had found not just sight, but purpose. He had been beside the road as an outsider, and now he was on the road as an insider. No bystander here, no spectator here, no casual observer. No, hey, Lord, thanks for the eyesight. It's awesome. I'll catch you later. But I got some living to do, man. I want to just go see stuff. I want to travel around and see all the stuff I've heard about. I've heard about all this great stuff to see. And I want to, no, none of that. Lord, you give me eyes to see. And what I want to see more than anything right now is you. I want to walk with you. Bartimaeus became a disciple that day because he became a Christian that day. Because, saints, they're really not divisible. You can't be a follower of Jesus and not be a disciple. Right? I like what Edwards says about it. He shucks it down pretty minimal here. Faith that does not lead to discipleship is not saving faith. There are no spectators. There's no bystanders. There's no pew sitters. There's no people who just kind of, yeah, I like Jesus and I like some of what's in the Bible. Man, I got a life to live, man. I'm all about this stuff over here and that agenda over there and this movement over here and that thing over there. That's really where my interest is. And Jesus says, you just don't get it. Man said, Lord, I just got married. Jesus said, come follow me. Man said, Lord, I just bought some land. Jesus said, come and follow me. Lord says, Jesus, I got to go bury my father. Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me. Does that mean we don't have funerals for our fathers? Everybody said, no, that's not what that means. Jesus was saying there is nothing you can put between me and you. Anything in your life that's between me and you is wrong. It's a stumbling block. And it will lead you in a direction that you don't want to go. Well, the road ahead is going to be tough for Bartimaeus. You know, we don't hear any more about him that I know of. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think he's mentioned again in the New Testament. But he's on the climb with Jesus to Jerusalem, where we know Jesus is going to give his life. And it's going to be tough, all that will follow. But it doesn't matter, because he's found the reason for the climb. I just finished reading a book, Cindy had read it first, called Becoming Elizabeth Elliot. It's a really interesting biography of Elizabeth Elliot by Ellen Vaughn. And there's a quote in it I want to share with you. She's left Ecuador with Valerie, her little daughter. Remember, she raised Valerie until she was like 7 or 8 years old in there with the Wayodani tribe. And now she's left them. She knows the Lord has said, your time here is done. And they arrive in Miami on the plane. I think I shared this in the video this Sunday. The first thing Valerie said when they got off the plane was, Mom, everybody's wearing clothes. Because the Wayodani just wear a string, right? That's all they wore. So, but this is what Vaughn writes. She says she realized, Elizabeth Elliot, that on a subconscious level, perhaps she had thought that obedience to Christ would mean following him to some destination, like a thatched hut in the jungle, and then staying there. Perhaps she assumed that obedience and ministry meant following Jesus to an end point where one would stay put and all would flourish. Now she realized yet again that a life of obedience never really comes in for a landing, so to speak. He does not say to us ever, here it is. He only says, here am I. Fear not. I think Bartimaeus understood that. There was no promise to Bartimaeus, hey, it's going to be smooth sailing from now here on out, baby. You got it. He was saying, here am I, Bartimaeus. Fear not. And he says the same thing to us. You know, Bartimaeus was walking with a bunch of people, but he was walking particularly with 11 men. Forget Judas Iscariot. The other 11 were going to follow Jesus all the way to their death. And we must do the same. That's what we've been called to do. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this morning for this show and tell that you provided for us with Bartimaeus, a man that couldn't see and yet he could see so much, who couldn't work and yet he was finally given the ability to work, and he wanted to work with you and for you. He wanted to walk with you and serve you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as disciples of Jesus to walk with you no matter how difficult the journey is, enduring, as we already read this morning, Hebrews 12, enduring the shame and going through the suffering, running with you, laying off every weight that so easily entangles us, those weights, those other things that consume us and those other agendas that call for us to follow them, laying those aside and with joy pursuing you, the author and finisher of our faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Mark Fox of Antioch Community Church in Elon, North Carolina. Antioch meets every Sunday for worship at 10 o'clock a.m. at 1600 Powerline Road in Elon. You can download other messages by Pastor Fox at antiochchurch.cc. You can also learn how to order his books or subscribe to his blog at jmarkfox.com.